historically, we always procrastinate a little bit, and we do the parsha in the beginning, and it's Sefer Hayashar, right? So it's the Hashkafa and the Torah Shebichtav is for sure all combined and mixed in anyway. So So for today, I don't have so much time, and I'm going to run a little bit earlier than usual. I just want to talk for a couple of minutes about the end of Parshas Noach. Right, not the right one. We're current in Parsha.
Okay. Are you here for Shabbos?
Yes, I'm here for Shabbos. That's Parshas Lech Lecha.
Yeah.
So that's already so many days in the future. Who can even? But everybody who wants to stay is welcome. And again, I think I mentioned already. I look forward to greeting everybody, and we'll give you the updates about Parshas. What is it, Chayisara?
Yeah, it's in the works.
It's in the works.
Yeah,
it's really going to happen.
Isaac's been making some strides.
Yeah,
we're not there yet, though.
Okay, you'll let me know. And we've reserved the Rosenzweig, facility. The Rosenzweig facilities have been reserved.
Much, much easier to book.
What? Probably. Not that there isn't a lot of demand for them. But, okay. So before we get to Parshas Noach, which we'll discuss over Shabbos, so in the end of Parshas Noach, of course, we have the Parsha of the Dor HaPlaga, which tends to be ignored a lot, I think, because or eclipsed in its focus. When you ask people what is Parshas Noach about, legitimately, rightly, they tell you it's about the Mabel, and the Dor Mabel, and the Noach, and so on. So the psukim that deal with the Dor HaPlaga, it's only, nine psukim. It's a pivotal historical event in biblical history, in world history. A paradigm, which is probably not less important, than the Mabel from a certain point of view. And yet, it, in terms of the psukim in the Torah, it gets much fewer psukim and much less emphasis. Again, to some extent, the Mabel was a refashioning of the world, right? It was a new Bria in some sense. And, the extent of the onesh and of the calamity was, of course, much greater, than that of the Dor HaPlaga. So that's understandable. Clearly this is an important pivotal moment, which we should be, learning from and understanding, at least. And, of course, Chazal themselves understood that you have to look at the Dor HaMabel and the Dor HaPlaga together. And that what happened in both cases, both the source of the improper lifestyle, as well as the consequences that were triggered by that, meaning the onesh, and the continued consequence after that, the aftermath, that these are things that by definition, are enhanced or enlightened, when you put them together. So there's a lot in the, in Chazal about the relationship between, the Dor HaMabel and the Dor HaPlaga. The most famous, comment that anybody is aware of course, is the one that Rashi quotes from Chazal in the last Alkein, Kara Shema, Bavel, Kisham, Balal Hashem Svas Kol Haaretz and Misham Efitzam Hashem Al Pnei Kol Haaretz. And Rashi says, quotes, that Limeid She'elam Chelek Le'olam Haba, on the one hand, Dor HaPlaga, the consequences were severe, right? Misham Efitzam, they were spread out and they continued to live, but the diuk is, right, that Al Pnei Kol Haaretz, but that they were denied the Olam Haba, which is very serious, Olam HaNitzchios, I mean, that's very serious. And then Rashi goes on, quoting the Chazal, the Chieza Kasha Dorshal Mabel, or Dor HaPlaga, right, which is more severe. Elu Pashtu Yodo, the Ikar, Elu Pashtu Yodo, the Ikar. lehilachem bo. And the Rashi again crystallizes the issue, and that is that, you know, we don't have any evidence that the Dor HaMabul per se were moreid neged the Ribono Shel Olam, right? And but the Dor HaFlaga, we'll read the psukim in just a minute. It's clear that this was the focus of their intentions, their agenda, their energy was to be moreid, to be kofar beikar, to be moreid b'Hashem. So one would have thought that, you know, that the severity of the onish, you know, would have reflected that, and that it would be, you know, equal or worse than that of Dor HaMabul. The elo nishtafu, the elo lo nevdu min ha'olam, but the opposite is true. Ela shedor HaMabul hayu gazlanim, v'hoysam b'riva b'neyem, l'kach nevdu, v'ilo ayu noagim hava v'reus b'neyem, right, v'elu rather, the and the Dor HaFlaga hayu noagim hava v'reus b'neyem, sh'nemar safa achas u'dvarim achadim, imarta sh'sonui ha-machlokes v'gadol ha-shalom. So that's a very powerful statement about machlokes and shalom and the relationship between, you know, violations in the ben adam lamakom sphere and violations in the, you know, ben adam lachaberos sphere. And this is a very, you know, everybody, every tinoko shobes rabba knows this Rashi. And it's a very still, you know, still and because of it, it's a very powerful Rashi. Right? Any assessment of the relationship between you know, an assessment of shalom and so on needs to, you know, include the evidence, you know, of this Rashi. But the impression that you could get from the Rashi certainly also is, and again, this is Rashi is in Chazal, is that, you know, you have like a very sharp contrast here. And then you have this, you know, one society, you know, which is, you know, corrupt to the core, you know, when it comes to, you know, Bein Adam Lechavero, right? And there was Gilei Arayos, and there was Shvichus Damim. There was also some of Avodah Zarah, perhaps, but particularly Gilei Arayos and Shvichus Damim and Gezel, Chamas, right? The language that, you know, was used, you know, between these people and the Dor HaMabul, you know, was language which promoted discord, and which was, you know, attacked, you know, the dignity of man, and so on. Whereas, it sounds like the Dor HaFlaga, you know, they had a problem with the Ribono Shel Olam, you know, but everything was sunshine and roses, you know, Ben Adam Lechavero. That basically, it was a model society, you know, harmonious, peaceful, you know, and therefore, notwithstanding their egregious breach of Ben Adam Lamakom, the merit, you know, which we would have thought would be the worst thing you could do, right, this other aspect, this other dimension of their lives, which is so admirable, is something that, you know, that I wouldn't say redeemed them, because they didn't, you know, they lost, you know, Chayei Netzach, it's pretty big, and they were also dispersed, but in the end of the day, you know, it saved them from a worse fate and a bigger onus. That's the impression that you could get from this Chazal, all things being equal. And then the contrast between Dor HaMabul and Dor HaFlaga, right, is a very sharp and a very unequivocal one. They represent two almost mutually exclusive models of, you know, of improper or corrupt religious behavior, right, down that very, you know, clear Rubicon that, you know, many people use of Ben Adam Lamakom, Ben Adam Lechavero. However, there are problems with that. Again, I think some people think that this is the case. You know, some major, you know, views in Chazal and Mefarshim really do look at it this way. I certainly don't deny that. But there seem to be some problems with it. For one, the Onesh, and this some of the Mefarshim note, doesn't seem to fit, you know, doesn't seem to fit the crime at all. Meaning, if their harmony and their comedy, not comedy, but comity, right, was, you know, was so admirable, their unity, then, you know, why were they dispersed, right, which seemingly doesn't contribute, you know, to that sense of harmony and unity, you know, and achdus, and so on. Well, there might be other answers to that question. They still were, deserved to be punished, and maybe they were, they hit them where it hurt the most. Like, they defined themselves in this way. That was their quality of life, and their quality of life was undermined, and there was also a bigger statement being made, and that is that you can't live half a, honorable life, right, because none of it is honorable, but we'll get back to that in a minute. But either way, that's certainly a question. An interesting other question flows, if you ask me, and I think some of Farshim were bothered by it. I know that the Kli Chemda was certainly bothered by it, although he comes up with a different perspective, maintaining this, kind of dichotomy. But I was always bothered by this, and therefore I was thrilled to see that he was bothered by it. And that is the Mishnah in the beginning of Hazav. Right, the Mishnah says, well, it's the beginning of Hazav, so it says Hazav Konas Akesa, but that's the part that we're interested in at the moment. In the end of the Mishnah, the Mishnah says that Ketzad Kol Metaltin Konim says that Ketzad Moshe Chemenu Peros Vel Nosel Amos Eni Yachal Achsebo Nosel Amos Vel Moshe Chemenu Peros Yachal Achsebo. Again, this is a halachic context, right? It's a Bam Metzia, the beginning of the fourth parak. If a person doesn't do a kinyan, a maisa kinyan, b'shicha, let's say, but he tries to acquire metaltalin, not karka, through a ma'os, right? So there's a debate whether we hold ma'os konos or ma'os enon. If you hold that basically ma'os enon konos, right? So yocholach serbo, aval amru mishapar the amche doramabo umidora floga, who osid li fara mimisha eno omid bidibura. Right, so this is called a Mishapara. Right, but the continuation of the words Mishapara is Mishapara, right, me anshe dor hamabol umidora flaga who also lifar mimisha in omein betipu. Okay, so the question that arises, of course, is again, you can discount this, say, we want to scare people who, are not don't have proper, integrity, they're not honest. And, we want to underscore how severe an infraction, that posture of behavior really is. And, what's a scarier, historical punishment, to invoke, than the big ones. So the Rabbanu Sholem, inflicted punishment on the Dor HaBabel, and he inflicted punishment on the Dor HaFlaga. Later on, the Chazal add, Sodom and Mitzrayim. The Rambam actually, when he quotes this Mishapara in Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph in Hilchos Mechira, he also quotes the full part of it. Mishanos and Dabba Belamoshav Peros Apisho Nikno Ha'Metalpin Kamosha Biarnu Kalachoza Lo Beno Lekef Be Mocher Lo Osa Maisi Yisrael Lo Osa Maisi Yisrael. That's an interesting formulation. V'chayiv Lekabel Mishapara. Ketsa Makaba Mishapara. O Renoso, Mabezdin, Ober Mishapara, me Anchidor Mabo, Ome Anchidor Flago, me Anchor Sedom, me Amora, Umi Mitzrayim Shatobu Bayam, U Yifra Mimishaina Ome Bidibura. Right? So, again, one perspective is that, again, we're looking for a scary, we're looking for impact and for precedent. The Rebbe Shlomo is Mashgiach on the world. And, your actions have consequences, and they can be rather severe and dire. That, if that's all it is, then at least this point is irrelevant to what I'm talking about now. But certainly, you would assume, right, that the Mishein Omed B'Diburo Mechayev, is somehow connected, to the Mishapara. Right? And when it comes to Sodom Amora, and even Mitzrayim, and when it comes certainly to the Dor HaMabel, that link is very obvious, right? Because these are all societies in which, and again, the question of honesty and integrity, the Ben Adam L'Chavero part of it, if you will, living up to your commitment, and so on, were weak points, right? They were the Achilles heels of these societies. Again, Gezela, is lo nechtam gzardino shel doram abo ala gazela, right? And part of that is, you know, disregarding other people's rights, you know, and so on. And of course, Sodom, you know, certainly Sodom and Amora, you know, represented the antithesis of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Achnasas Arkim was outlawed. You know, again, the achzorius of those societies and the, you know, I guess the, you know, the perspective that, you know, that they operated with was the antithesis of integrity. Dor Mitzrayim, also, you know, the Mitzrayim, the old Paro story, you know, Paro changing his mind a million times. The idea of slavery, right, imposing subservience, you know, subordinating another people, you know, all of these make sense. But the Dor HaFlaga, right, they were, you know, they were the quintessential exemplars of harmony and unity, right, and empathy, you know, weren't they? And if they were, so, you know, are they also a good example of, you know, Mishapara? So again, if it only means the severity of the onus, great. But if it presumably means more than that, and there are other examples of onshin out there, but especially the main ones are the Dor HaMabul and Dor HaFlaga. And especially it's fascinating that this, the Din of Mishapara only applies to Yisrael. Right? Certainly Rambam implies that, and others apply it as well. Even if Dinin of Bnei Noach extend, you know, to some of the details of Kosher Mishpat, right? It's unlikely that, you know, that Mishpat is under the Doraisa, or it might reflect the Doraisa, but it's not a Kenyan, we'll put it that way. So the question is really, what does a Dor HaFlaga have to do with any of this? And, you know, the bigger point is that there seems to be other evidence as well that the, you know, again, if the consequence wasn't just to hit them where it hurt the most, or to underscore that, you know, a unity which is built on merit, you know, is an unacceptable unity, or notwithstanding the unity, and that's why, you know, they were separated and spread out all over the world, you know, that would be one thing. But if you look carefully at the psukim, at least one reading of the psukim, it seems like, you know, that the flaw of their behavior extended as well to Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. That it wasn't only Bein Adam L'Makom, and that this was a flawed or even corrupt society, maybe even, you know, particularly corrupt, maybe even more corrupt in a certain way, because it was more subtle than the Dor HaMabul. Notwithstanding, you know, external, you know, impression of and some aspect of, you know, harmony and unity. That's beneath the harmony and the unity, right? There were all sorts of, you know, issues. And I'd like to just zero in, I think, on two primary ones. This is, I think, implied even in the psukim, you know, themselves. By he called ha'aret safa echas. This is the language of the Torah. This is very remarkable, right? Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch has a different take on the whole thing, but talks about, you know, why the Torah uses the language of Safa instead of Lashon. Right, Chazal in particular, other Makoros, we talk about Lashon. But anyways, Safa Achat u'Dvarim Achadim. Right, so the usage of Dvarim Achadim is also very challenging. Right, not Davar Echad, but Dvarim Achadim. Not dvarim achidim, right? But dvarim achadim. I'll explain what I think it might mean. I'm speculating in just a minute. And vayomer ishal reihu hava nilvan alavenim disrfal esreifa. But the main point is vayomer hava nivne lanu iru migdal v'rosha b'shamayim v'nase lanu shem. Of course, that's a key phrase. The idea of making a name, you know, for yourself. What does that mean? Nasalat Hashem. Penafutz al pnei kol haaretz. They were already, the agenda of Penafutz, the agenda of Penafutz already informed, right, the goal of the Nasalat Hashem. Then, of course, we're told by Yered Hashem, There also Yerbiasamigdal, that always has a negative connotation, right? Also, you have it in Sodom. Asher Banu B'nei Ha'adam, right? Chazal say that Banu B'nei Ha'adam, you know, is a reference to the chait of Adam HaRishon, like, you know, that Adam characteristic has, like, reasserted itself. Vayomer Hashem, Hein Am Echad V'Safa Achat L'Kulam. Again, the Safa idea again, right? V'zeh Hachilam La'asot. So is he saying, notwithstanding the fact that they have this harmony and unity, this is what they've begun to, you know, this is their agenda? Or is he saying their form, their particular, you know, perspective on harmony and unity, right, has caused them, right, to rebel? V'ata lo yibatzer mehem, which is also a strange and unusual phrase, lo yibatzer mehem, meaning that there's nothing to hold them back, right? There are no breaks on this kind of ideology. There's nothing that they won't do. Which is strange to say about a society which seemingly is sterling, right, in its, you know, humanistic, ethical, moral, you know, ben adam l'chavero part. Ze lo yibatzer mehem, lo yibatzer mehem, v'ata lo yibatzer mehem. Since it's be, but kol asher yozmu la'asos. Again, yozmu has a usually a connotation of yozmu means makshava, but it usually has a negative makshava connotation, like a cynical or corrupting makshava connotation. Asisam lo kasher zamam la'asos la'achav. Okay, hava nerda v'nav la'sham sfasam asher lo yishmu ish sfas re'ehu. Right, and the Vayatvetz Hashem Osam Mishom al Pnei Kol Haaretz Vayachdu Lav Livno Sasair, and as we explain, there seems to be in the use of language and also just in the order of the psukim. If we read it carefully, again, not all mefarshim agree. Hints that the, you know, sterling Ben Adam Lechavero itself, right, was a facade, or that it was part of the problem. And I think that there are two overlapping reasons for this. Just one other highlight of it. You know, Chazal say on the, again, Dvarim Achadim, you know, and so on, that somehow the Dvarim Achadim, or the Safa Achat and Dvarim Achadim, targets, or is the antithesis of, says Chazal, Medrash, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, right? Or, and the pasuk that says, Echad, Enach, Echad Haya Avram. Right. So again, that's Chazal's way, you know, it's a classic Chazal, obviously, playing on the word, but it seems to be also their way of communicating that the, you know, the Ben Adam L'Chavero here was, you know, was much more complicated, you know, and much less sterling, or that it's, you know, the corrupting component, at least, you know, also tarnished, you know, its sterling potential, you know, then it's somehow the antithesis of the Echads, you know, that we admire the most. Yichud Hashem, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and Echad Hayavram. Again, on a more minimal level, but I don't think that these are mutually exclusive, what we're saying is that the echad, you know, of this Ben Adam L'Chavero, whatever it was, I'll give you my suggestion in just a second, attacked Yichud Hashem, because it was a merit against the Rabbanu Shel Olam, right? And it implied that there's a competition, you know, between, you know, Ben Adam L'Makom, Ben Adam L'Chavero, that there's like a sovereignty clash, or can be one. You know, however misguided you are about assessing the odds of being victorious, right, in the end of the day, if you believe in Yichud Hashem, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you can't even, you know, formulate, you know, the battle plan, essentially. And the same is true as Echad Haya Avram, right? Avram Avinu, more than any other person, you know, really embodied, I would say, the shiluv, the integration of Ben Adam L'Makom and Ben Adam L'Chavero. Right? Avraham Avinu is the person who is the father of monotheism. Right? He's the person who found the Rebbe Shalom, or refound, you know, the Rebbe Shalom. That's our tradition. Right? He was willing to, pay the ultimate price for that, right? Chazal's, view of the Kivshon Ha'esh, right? Mikur Ur Kazdim, rather. Throughout, Avram Avinu is spreading, he's creating Elokei Ha'aretz. He's spreading. He's the chief strategist in Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Echad Haya Avram. And at the same time, of course, there's no greater pillar of Ben Adam, Lechavero than Avram Avinu. Right? Avram is the Amud HaChesed. Avram is the exemplar of Achnasas Archim. Avram Avinu is even willing to put the Rabbanu Shalom on hold. Right? Haknasas Archim trumps Kabbalas, Pnei Hashchina. Not really. Again, he sees it as an internal thing. The way to be Mekabel Pnei Hashchina is also to be Machnis Orchid. Right? So, Avram Avinu knows how to rise to the occasion Ben Adam Lamakom better than anyone else, in addition to the things I just mentioned. Right? He can walk away from a legacy and a culture, which is the only, thing that he's known all his life, Lech Lecha. And he can even, sacrifice, Bincha Yechidcha, Asher Ahavta, as Yitzchak. He can, basically give away his future. He can do all that for the Rabbanu Shalom. And at the same time, he's the Amud HaChesed, who again, exemplifies this midah ad kedei kach that he, he can advocate on behalf of Sodom. That's the extent of his exaggerated, chesed. And he can say velot, even though velot, haya bestow, right? The pidyon shvuyim of Avraham Avinu is, based on Lot being his brother rather than just being his nephew. Notwithstanding, the ideological path that he had taken, all the implication of rechush, or attitude towards rechush that divides them, and so on. So when Chazal say, that the echad, let's say, of the Dor HaFlaga, targets or contrasts to Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Yichud Hashem, which is also Kabbalah Sabach HaShemayim, and to Avram Avinu, Echad Haya Avram, right? It sounds that, like what they're saying is, that this perfect picture, of this half-perfect picture, at least, is itself imperfect and corrupt and maybe even dangerous. And I think that is true for two basic reasons. One reason is that even if it is, or seemingly, or on some, theoretical or abstract, level, true, namely, even if the harmony and the unity, and the comedy, is sincere, and let's say it's even heartfelt and somewhat consistent, in the end of the day, the idea that it can endure when it is shorn from the foundation of Ben Adam Lamakom is a corrupting idea. In the end of the day, we say Chotamo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes, and Hashem Oza Mo Yitein Hashem Yivarech Esamo Vashalom. Right? Shlomo Misha Shalom Shalom is a name for the Rabbanu Shalom. All of the Midos Lehidamos, right? Mahu Chanun, Mahu Rachum. The real makor of Ben Adam Lechavero, in the end of the day, whether it's Shalom, Emes, Chanun, Rachum, etc., has to be connected in some way to the Rabbanu Shalom. Otherwise, man's ego, his competitive desire, his material makeup, which is connected to a certain survival, and competitive instinct, which surely is undeniable in surveying, both the psychology of man as well as the history of mankind. All of that, in the end of the day, you know, militates against anything but a short-term exemplary, you know, ben adam lechavero, that is going to endure. Moreover, there are all sorts of you know, other challenges. The question of how to apply even a sincerely held ben adam lechav sterling, ben adam lechavero, right, in a world that becomes, you know, complicated, in which you know, all sorts of relativist values, you know, begin to, you know, to be adopted or to be considered or to compete. How do you, you know, draw the line? You know, it's a very fine line when you don't have, you know, even when you do have, you know, a Masorah and a divine foundation, you know, to apply ethics and morality, aside from the first point that I just mentioned about, you know, competition and man's instinct for survival and so on and so forth. But the application, when things become complicated and you have to make, you know, difficult decisions, even with everything that we have, you know, there are sometimes situations which are, you know, no-win situations or anomalies where you have to, you know, choose, you know, the lesser evil. Kavachomer, Bebedosha, Kavachomer, when man is left to his own devices, you know, even sincere man, right, the his man's capacity to rationalize, you know, his being clouded, you know, by his own interests, you know, sometimes camouflaged, you know, as the greater good or his neighbor's good or mankind's good, you know, all of these, you know, elements make it very difficult without a more objective and a more divine, you know, source of authority, you know, and Masorah that is more complex to proceed. Again, I mentioned this Tosefta before. It bears repeating again. But the Tosefta in Masechet Shavuos, Paragimel Mishnah Hay, says, Chananya ben Chachinoi Omer, V'chichesh ba'amiso, Ein adam kofer ba'amiso, Ad shekofer bi'ikar. Exactly our question, Mishapara. Pam achas shavas rabbi Ruvain v'tiveria matzo philosof omar lo ezehu sanui sheba olam. Omar lo zeh kofer v'misha bra'o. So the most hated man is the person who denies, who's an atheist, who denies the existence of God. So Tosef explains, ezehu kaved savicha lo tirtzach lo tinav lo tignav lo tane lo tachmod. In adam kofer b'davar ad shekofer b'ikar. In adam holech l'dvar b'era elim kein kafar b'misha tzibo lo alecha. This is the Tosefta's way of saying that when you completely separate morality and ethics and, you know, inter and intra, you know, human conduct and relations, you know, from any kind of, you know, authority base or divinity or sanctity, etc., you know, it can't survive for very long. Again, the Rav used to speak a lot about, you know, the, you know, Nazi Germany as an example of a very cultured society, and one that, you know, prided itself, or Germany, I should say, which prided itself as being a very moral and very ethical and very, you know, humane, you know, society. And, you know, how quickly that turned, you know, when relativism and, you know, demagoguery and self-interest and self-aggrandizement, you know, came into the picture. You know, I used to quote a lot, you know, the dilemma or the, you know, the, you know, the description in Dostoevsky's, you know, Crime and Punishment, you know, of, what's the guy's name? Raskolnikov?
Yeah.
I don't know why that doesn't come trippingly off my... I can say, you know, komokom shatamote gvurasa atamote anvasanuso, but for some reason Raskolnikov always gives me, like, a lot of problems. So, yeah, Raskolnikov. You know, the ethics of, you know, of, you know, murdering, you know, an old, you know, decrepit, you know, lonely, you know, woman, you know, whose life is basically over and whose life is, you know, barely, and whose suffering, you know, makes her life barely worth living, you know, and the benefit that would, you know, provide, to a young person who, can really contribute to society, and so on, as examples of this, this kind of mentality, how, an ethics which is, basically completely in the hands of man is one which can erode very quickly. It doesn't mean there aren't ethical people who are atheistic or, separate from, there are, but the idea of reposing, let's say, confidence, in such a long-term system has again and again and again been, proven, historically, to be inaccurate. That's proven to be a very unreliable basis. It's for this reason that a lot of the Mefarshim explain, again, the Mesorah introduces Masechet Avos. And as we noted earlier in the year, right? I'm guessing, but I think it's also for this reason that Parshas Mishpatim, which deals with Nezikim, and we've tried to show, not just with the elemental, Ishes Chavero Chaim Belaho Nezikim, but also the kedusha aspects that are connected to it, Hakas Nezakin and Nizkei Mamon and so on. But as I noted earlier, that that parsha is one of the most undecipherable parshios, in Pshuto Shel Mikra in Torah Shebatzav. You really need a Mesorah to read the Psukim of Nezikin. I always thought that A, it's because of those other elements, and B, it's part of this Musar Haskel. If there's one area of law, which seems like very, fundamental and universal, and just basic humanity and basic logic, it's this area. And still we need a Mesorah, for the nuggets and even for the basic dinim, as if to say, this is all sanctioned by, religious law as well. The Rabbeinu Shalom cares about dinim nezikin. It's not that he imposes it on man because it's necessary, but it has nothing to do with religion. It's, again, that line in the Gemara in Brachos about the difference between, you might have thought that, din is shalom, but you should know that din is Torah. So I think that on one level, the Dora Flugga perspective, is corrupt and flawed, in the extreme and dangerous, because the merit part makes it perfectly clear that there is this divorce and the notion, that you don't have to lose. But I think, my time's almost up, so I'm just going to mention it quickly, and then maybe another time we'll elaborate. I think there's a much deeper, if it's true, it's more speculative, but I think that there's actually another dimension to all of this, which is much more subtle, but maybe as important, maybe even more important. And that is, I think that there are two or three different types of unity and harmony. And of course, we, Chazal, the world of halacha, tremendously admires shalom. I think that's what the Rashi ends with. And abhors certainly machlokas. So no question about that. But the point is that not all unity, is the same. The unity that comes from a respect of individuals, in a healthy debate or discussion, a healthy account, of individual needs, but that in the end of the day, end up enhancing, the tzibur or the unified goal, that's the unity and that's the peace, that we admire. However, there are two other types of unities that overlap. One is a lowest common denominator unity, right? I don't mean toldos, but I mean something like toldos, meaning where basically you accomplish unity not by, all the individual, components, contributing their unique dimension, to create something that is more than the sum of its parts. That's the unity that we admire. Where there can even be initial, lively, even fierce, ferocious, mechamtashal Torah-like discussion and debate, but, in a respectful manner and in a manner which in the end, facilitates and promotes, right, an ambitious, you know, unified, and maybe a complex unity too, by the way, as opposed to the lowest common denominator idea, which basically says that, we're all going to do, you know, which is by definition a pragmatic, you know, not an idealistic goal. It's accomplished by essentially neutralizing, ignoring, or suppressing, right, the individual dimension, you know, itself, ironically, right? It's a pragmatic unity that is also a diluted unity. It doesn't flow from the aspiration of harmony. It flows from a pragmatic other agenda. Nase lanu shein, pen nafutz. And it's not davar echad, it's dvarim achadim. There really are, under the surface, divisions. We're either suppressing them, ignoring them, disrespecting them, and we're focusing instead, right, on that lowest common, you know, denominator. That doesn't enhance tzelem Elokim. And in the world of halacha and of yahadus, right, probably more than any other religion, you know, there is this notion of collectivity in the tzibur. We talked about it a lot, and we'll talk about it more. I can't talk about, you know, yahadus without talking about it. You have both, at the same time, a much more developed, you know, and sophisticated notion of tzibur, right, as an entity, as a chalos, and at the same time, a much greater also appreciation of the individual and the individual's contribution, right? Kol ola, kol mekayim nefesh achas, right? Ki'ilu mekayim, ki'ilu kiyem olam mole, the whole idea of pikuach nefesh, right? The idea of kabolas, you know, ha-Torah, which is addressed to every individual, even as it's addressed to tzibur. You know, the capacity to have a corporate tzibur, you know, that is a chalos bifnei atzma, and has its own dinim and its own impact and so on, again, more than the sum of its parts, in my opinion, is not despite, but is because of this more developed notion of the individual and his contribution. The unity, the harmony, the comedy of the Dor HaPlaga, which still remained preferable in some respects to the Gezel and the Chamas policy, you know, of the Dor HaMabul, is still based on pragmatism, not idealism, and in some respects, it's at the sacrifice of the individual and his contribution, and the capacity for real unity and harmony, which is the challenge of taking and respecting and accentuating, right, those elements and still creating unity. In a sense, it's at the expense of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, of Yichud Hashem, which is that exactly. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the source of all powers in the world, and he integrates them seamlessly in himself. It's not a dilution, not a lowest common denominator. It's a complex, very hard to even formulate it. Right, the role of Yichud Hashem is equivalent to Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. And Echad Haya Avram, right? Avram Avinu was, you know, the greatest, again, individual achiever of Amon Goyim, everything we discussed. He stood out, you know, certainly in his time. And at the same time, the person who had the greatest, you know, impact on creating the concept of harmony and so on. In that respect, you know, Safa Achat, Dvarim Achadim, is a far cry from true unity and the notion of a tzibur. Moreover, there is perhaps, this is the overlapping piece, like there's a certain tyranny sometimes in harmony and in unity, especially if it results from a pragmatic agenda and expresses itself in the lowest common denominator. It creates a situation where, you know, people certainly are not encouraged, you know, to excel, you know, to find their individual voice. But at the end of the day, in the name of, and this is where the cynicism, you know, sometimes aware and sometimes subconscious comes into play. But in the name of unity and dignity and empathy, basically, you have a kind of a, you know, mob suppression of, you know, of what people really, you know, are thinking and what they really, you know, want to express. So whether it's the pragmatic, you know, setting of that aside, you know, to accomplish the goal, or it is the, you know, just the desire to be, you know, consistent, you know, with whatever the prevailing culture and climate is all about, right? That can create, you know, a false, empty sense of unity, but really, that's a unity which crushes, right, what should be the foundation of and the significance of unity. And therefore, and again, it deserves to be, you know, expanded much, much more, both of these ideas, but especially the second one. What we're told is that the onesh of the Dor HaPlaga was their dispersion. Because that kind of unity, right, is not a unity which is exemplary. Again, it might still be preferable on some level to the Dor HaMabul, right? But in the end of the day, it really is a cover, right, for diversity which isn't enhancing, and on the contrary, which is based on the suppression of individuality and real diversity. For this reason, we'll stop at this. When the Mishnah wants to find, you know, a basis for the Mishapara, it invokes not only the Mabul, but also the Dor HaPlaga as well. Because in terms of real honesty and idealism, you know, and consistency and integrity, right, the chisaron of the Dor HaPlaga was every bit as egregious as the chisaron of the Dor HaMabul. In some cases, maybe even worse, because of the facade, you know, of unity and harmony and empathy, you know, when corrupted in the way that it was, you know, there's a certain cynicism, you know, there's a certain undermining of the ideals themselves, you know, that is consequence, you know, of that. And therefore, when we want to highlight, you know, the obligation of integrity, we speak about a Mishapara. And we speak about, you know, the historical precedents, not only of Dor HaMabul, but of Dor HaPlaga as well. Okay. Stop here. Hair of color.